Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And hello once again. This is Coach Chuck Creasy. It's another week of American Tennis. Every Wednesday at noon on the UR Tennis Network. Just folks, call in or call in on your iPhone. You can just dial up urtennisnetwork.com and you can get every show that Jason Haynes, the CEO and the director of the U.S. UR Tennis Network, has put up in the past 5 years. And there's some great ones with great coaches and great personalities. And, folks, we've got five great shows going on right now. I always talk about the big hit program of Lisa Stone's Parenting Aces every Tuesday. Golly, her website's great. And, folks, go to Lisa Stone's website. You are ParentingAces.com. Steve Clark's West Coast Tennis is off and running and is a great one. 2 hours from right now, you can get Jason Haynes's Collegiate Connection program, and you can hear a college talk coach interviewed each and every Wednesday. And then John Denise's Florida High School Tennis program is a great one as well. And also American Tennis with Coach Chuckery, that's me. And I've done this now. This is my going into the fourth year. And we have a couple hundred shows out there on the internet. Also, you can go to chuckcreasy.net, www.chuckcreasy.net, and just click on all the American Tennis programs that we have had over the past 3.5 years now. But anyhow, my program is unique in the way that I try to say it like it is, call it the way it is. I don't try to sugarcoat it. We always try to address issues, not people. I will talk about organizations, and we're going to talk about organizations today, folks, because we got to do something. And it's I'm getting fired up because I'm seeing what's going on with the elections and things, and people are sort of tired of the political correct nonsense, and it's just amazing. I'm not saying who I voted for, but my golly, the Trump thing is just amazing how he is taking down the Washington establishment and the bureaucratical control of Washington, and that is something to see. Whether you like him or not, people are hungry for this. And I am amazed that he got the evangelical votes in South Carolina and in Nevada. And I'm amazed that also he's getting all in every organization, every place. People are mad. They are just hacked off. Can I say pissed off? You know, people are just mad. And people are mad. They don't want to be controlled. So, therefore, the program today I'm talking about, and a couple things that motivated me to do this program today. One is the fact that we've been ongoing battling for, golly, 4 to 5 years with different organizations, namely ITA and the USTA, these organizations that the bureaucratic, they're supposed to be organizations of service, and then they become organizations that are bureaucratical, and their goals shift from education to entertainment, and from education and serving others to fulfilling their goals, whether it is money, fame, status, power, you name it, those things that are not the virtues that we would want our children growing up with, but organizations are not usually virtuous. And it's really interesting how our churches are not all that virtuous anymore. They're becoming organizations that are politically correct and driven by money as well. And, tennis organizations, schools are not virtuous anymore once they get run by these huge organizations. So I want to talk about, we're going to try to address issues, not people. We are going to talk about organizations. But our job in American Tennis is, we always encourage you to stand up, speak out, call in at 714-583-6853, 714-583-6853. If you want to be on a show or just give a point of view and give us your viewpoint on this. And I don't think there's much in the middle anymore. The middle of this, the political climate of our country in the past 10 years, whether it's the presidency, whether it's local governments, whether it's the bureaucratical organizations, the ITA, the USTA, it has sort of separated people into two groups. One is the group that believes in freedom and democracy and the independent enterprise the independent affairs of the heart that tennis is all about. Tennis, music, art, all of these things, writing. All of these things, the affairs of the heart that are usually, think about these, are usually the ones, folks, that are weeded out in school programs. Don't they usually drop the music, the sports, the art, theater programs, all the debate clubs? Don't they drop those out first? They drop those things out first, don't they? Because those are affairs of the heart. Those are the passionate endeavors. But, in our society right now, there's those of us who are fighting very, very hard to hang on to tennis as a passionate endeavor of the heart. I don't want my children just to learn how to be robotical and play a sport for activity or exercise. I want them to learn an affair of the heart and a way to express their passion. It's not dirty work. It's just not grinding work or free time activity as many people. This is an affair of the heart. So, but we ask you, when you speak up on it, you've got to address issues. It's really, really hard to do. But reminded that what Edmund Burke says, that all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men, good people to do nothing. And you wonder how movements took place in free countries, and people lost their freedom little by little by little. And why people are so afraid to speak out. You can say anything you want. Donald Trump is teaching us, isn't he? And whether you like him or not, he's teaching everybody, look, speak out, say the truth. And he's not getting sued over his freedom of speech. You know, we have freedom of speech, but everybody gets afraid. It is mind-boggling how people are afraid of an organization like the ITA. The ITA, listen, folks, it is a coaches organization. At very best, it's a lobbyist group. It's an organization that you have to pay dues to get into. And they've set themselves up. as the governing body of college tennis. Now, how has the NCAA allowed this? That's what we should be really going crazy about right now. We should be addressing the NCAA and asking them, why is a lobbyist coaching group like the ITA, it used to be ITCA, Intercollegiate Tennis Coaches Association, now they took the C out purposely and on the advice of others that, hey, we could get corporate members. And the minute you get corporate members, you get more money, you get more influence, you become bigger. Then you can call yourself the governing body. In the USTA, listen, the United States Tennis Association, and thank goodness for the good work that they do for so many, but it's a service organization. It should not be a governing organization that force feeds what we have to do. So I want to ask you a few things, okay? And I'm going to come back to why I'm on this, but I just read this definition of tyranny. Program today is called American Tennis, but it's called Tennis Freedom or Tennis Tyranny. Now, tyranny, a government in which the power belongs to one person or slash one organization, especially when the power becomes oppressive. Now, does this sound familiar? One organization. How does this happen? How does it happen? How did it happen in these countries? Oh, Germany, World War II, how did that happen? I'm of German descent. How did these good Christian people, mainly Lutherans, how did this happen? Now, how does it happen where one organization or an organization just grabs control of things, and then all of a sudden people become sheeple? They're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to say things. And it's only thing, and how is this socialist agenda being pushed in our country right now? The guy that says he's a socialist out front running for president. Now, how can people not understand that National Socialist Party, Nazi, National Socialist, okay, USSR, Union of Soviet Socialists, how do people not associate this? Well, most of the people, especially the millennials that have grown up with freedom, we take our freedom for granted. We take our freedom for granted in so, so many ways. Freedom's abused. And those with power start to take it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And guess what? They have the computers now and all of the ability to put restraints, rules, regulations into place very quickly. And from the start, I've said computers allowed. They're allowing Barney to run Mayberry. The people who get into power should not be into power a lot of times. There's a saying that's very good about leadership. First of all, if you're a leader and you've got people under you, always tell your people, I'd rather give you forgiveness and permission. Let them have freedom. Tell them that you want them to be a number one person with a number two person's position. But what we do is we have promoted people, whether it is hires because we have to or to fulfill an agenda or whatever the reason for doing, for political correctness, whatever, we have promoted people to power positions that are number two people. And one people hire number ones, twos hire number threes because twos are not secure usually in their accomplishments. Twos didn't really, we're not learning the pecking order on the playground either. We don't let our kids fight on the playground. We don't let our kids battle through things. We don't let our kids establish a pecking order. Even the top champion, the baseball champion, the runner, or anything, if the top one is not singled out as the leader because we give participation trophies to those who are the losers or the followers. And when you do this, those kids don't grow up either. Number one, two things. You have natural leaders. You have those leaders that are learned. Those that learn leadership through the struggle on the playground, in the classroom, on the sports field, and all those things that happen a lot of times before puberty. And then for sure, by the time they're out of high school, the kids who are in the middle group, they learn leadership skills. So you have the natural leaders and those that came through the filter of hard knocks and filter of work, and they have learned their leadership skills. But then you have those that aren't supposed to be leaders. I'm sorry, not everybody's supposed to go to college. I'm sorry, not everybody's supposed to get a trophy. You know what? Some kids lose. And the point is, when you don't allow kids to lose and to see that they're not supposed to be a leader, they end up growing up and sometimes get in, put into positions because of whatever the reason is. You know, they get in position whether or not they deserve it. Physically, mentally, or emotionally, they don't deserve the leadership position. And then they become a number two person and hires number three persons, and therefore bureaucracies cover them up and they hide these people. And you have what we have. And boy, oh boy, are some of our politicians just not good. You know, we say awful, not good, just crummy. Let's say they're underdeveloped. They got underdeveloped because of a lack of battling on the playground and a lack of pecking order, fighting through their pecking orders and things that they need to do. Folks, I'm all fired up today. I had to go. I have the tale of two weekends. We went to, two weekends ago, we played a tournament. We played six straight matches in two weekends over 2 weeks. This is the second and third weekend out now. But we played traditional scoring, and we played old school tennis. We played some smaller schools, and we didn't have any referees, and we had no problem. We put the honor on the coach that was there. We just said, hey, you're in charge. If anything happened, we had no problems. We played six matches, and I came away from there feeling like, my golly, life is good again. Life is good. This sport of tennis that we coach is fantastic. We really, our young people are learning. They've battled through some tough times. Life is good. I'm in an honorable endeavor, and every day that I have left on this earth, it is a good thing to be a tennis coach. And then the tale of this last weekend. We went to a place and played a match. Lots of hoopla, fanfare, and a lot of stuff. And we had to play no ad scoring, and they stopped matches in this one deal when the team clinched. I came away saying, what in the world am I doing? The hoopla show only satisfies for a short period of time. Hoopla blows away faster than a leaf in a hurricane. It blows away fast. You know, people, when they push this no ad scoring, they say, hey, listen, it's exciting. And I came up with this statement, as I said, that excitement dwindles with each occurrence, whereas drama intensifies with each denial. Excitement like riding a roller coaster, one time, two times, three times, you're done, you move on to the Ferris wheel or something. It gets boring. You know, it's like a slasher movie. You know, you're scared the first scene, and about 10 minutes into it, you go, this is stupid, and you leave. A lot of times, whereas an Alfred Hitchcock movie of drama intensified. I just saw Casablanca, that wasn't Alfred Hitchcock, but it was a Humphrey Bogart recently, but the drama, you know, was so fantastic, and some of the old Alfred Hitchcock movies are so dramatic. But folks, I'm going to talk here and get into depth, and I'm hoping we have a couple calls. I think a caller's calling in, area code 714-583-6853. But we need to talk about this and talk about what happened. Here, I want to approach it this way. What has happened, okay, and why this happened, and what are we going to do about it? It's that simple. What has happened, why this happened, and what are we going to do about it? Again, tyranny is a government or an organization, let's put it, government in which power belongs to one organization, one person. And then if the power becomes oppressive. Now, this might be a question up for grabs, any of you USTA people backing or ITA people that are backing, call in this phone and talk about it. Have you used coercive leadership where you sort of force it down our throats? you know, folks, I was never against any teaching tool of the green ball or something. It was always a great teaching tool. But the minute they say you have to do it, listen, everybody ought to be outraged. You know, don't you understand that that takes away from our creative freedoms? Could you imagine a music organization saying, look, you cannot play jazz anymore. You have to only play these popular rap songs or the popular waltz, anything, but you can't play jazz anymore. Well, that's what they're doing. They're taking away through coercive leadership, force feeding, taking away our freedom. The second kind of leadership is persuasive leadership. Now, I'd be okay with that. Persuade us. Even one of the USTA officials said, you know what, we tried play and stay, we tried mini tennis, we tried this, we tried that, it wasn't working, so you know what, we just had to make all the rules different. Wow. Where is that thinking coming from? Bureaucratical thinking and not thinking of the big reason the people play tennis for the educational endeavor and the artistic endeavor. Persuasive leadership is better than coercive by far because you persuade, but the best is by example, having organizations that you follow by choice. Hey, I want to be in the ITA, not that I have to be in the ITA. Tim Russell, you listening? Listen, man, I'll join that ITA deal when, by example, you guys show that it's something that is honorable to be in, something that is completely a service organization. By example, we will follow. Not, you know, persuasive, okay, you got the persuasion, but boy, the coercive part of this was unbelievable. So I'm going to go here and talk about this a little bit, about the USTA, first of all, their green ball. Think of this, their green ball thing, their point system for tournaments. Everybody agrees that that has been about the biggest flop ever, the point system. It de-incentivizes kids to play and to learn the game and to master, to work for mastery. The kids now work for success, not for mastery, so therefore you take the artistic part out of it. How could an artist ever paint a picture and say, hey, I'm going to paint a picture that'll sell for $10,000? No, they don't care whether it's sold usually. They work for mastery and for their creative genius inside of them to come out. And then if it sells for $10,000, well, they're happy. But they don't, what we're doing it is backwards. We're doing completely backwards, trying to get something out of it. We're squeezing the tennis dry. Somebody said, boy, we need more players. We need more tournament directors. And I raised my hand and said, well, why would you want to be? There's nothing for young players now. It's a great sport, but there's no scholarships out there, and everything is going in the wrong direction. However, as that is materialistic, the biggest reason that it's not a good sport now is because the learning, the inside-out part of the sport, the artistic part of it is being drained out of it, squeezed out of it, sucked out of it. This point system is awesome, awful. It's just an awful, awful thing. And so, I mean, you've got that, the coaching certifications. Now the USTA is squeezing in on the USPTA. I think the USPTR is holding out. I didn't get to go to that convention. I wish I could have. I've always liked the PTR. Dennis Vandermeer set that up just to be an alternative to the USPTA. But the USPTA, I haven't joined that in the past, I don't know how many years. It's something you don't aspire to do. It's something you have to do. Got to be a part of it. Join that party. Join that organization. You know, so it is what it is with that. But, you know, the ITA, here we go with the ITA again, talking about the ITA. You know, with the ITA, it started out with very noble reasons. I remember Coach Dave Snyder, Texas, was in charge of it. And it was $10 to join it. It was just a coach's organization where we could sort of get together, discuss things, and sort of, you know, have a say-so and then it turned into a bureaucracy. And golly, now they are force feeding everybody this abbreviated scoring system of no ad and things. And it's, you know, you've heard me talk about this enough. I've got right here a sheet in front of me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 belligerent, outstanding, out-of-the-box acts of tyranny. Belligerent might not be it. I don't know if they think they're acting in the better interest of coaches. Maybe they do. Some of the people are just good people, but they're being misled. Again, the freedom. Folks, when you change the scoring system, 132 years of the sport is being infringed upon. 132 years. Now, we'll talk about these things, take a few callers, and I want to talk about why it's happened and then what we're going to do about it. And we'll be back in just a minute on American Tennis with Coach Chuck Creasy.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
Warning. Orthopedic surgeons are seeing an increase in overuse injuries when young athletes perform the same repetitive stressful motions over and over. Pitching, tennis, weight training, even long swimming workouts can cause overuse trauma that may require surgery. If your kids play and train hard, visit orthoinfo.org or stopsportsinjuries.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine.
American tennis, is it tennis freedom or is it tennis tyranny? And folks, again, the definition of tyranny that I've given that I looked up, it sort of smacks it right in the face, I mean, of what's going on here. A government which the power belongs to one person or one organization, especially when the power becomes oppressive. And I've talked about our coercive leadership and all these things, and we talked about the USTA that forcing the green ball on us, forcing the point system on them. They're going to force coaching certification out of these organizations, the USPTA in there, and the scoring systems, believe me, folks, it's coming. I've got an article out in Florida Tennis this week coming out talking about what the plan is, and once they have junior college tennis, junior tennis, the thought is they'll bleed it in the next 4 or 5 years, and we've got to stop it. We've got to do something. And I want to take your calls here and talk about this. But basically, again, it's the oppressive nature of organizations being run by top-down government instead of bottom-up and just letting the competition and the marketplace take place. So the ITA, just as bad, it's been a bureaucratic bureaucratic organization. Why does NCAA use them as the only source? Well, maybe we need another source. Hey, maybe we need other people running tournaments. Maybe we need competition. But why is this happening? And I got a caller on here coming in, and I'm going to get to the caller here in about 2 minutes, and we need to talk about this, but we're going to talk about solutions. Why is this happening? We already said it. Wrong people are elevated for whatever reason, political correctness or, you know, because they know somebody. But whenever you have a number two person leadership, two hires threes. Number ones hire ones, twos hire threes. I think computers have empowered Barney to run Maybe. They give them so much leeway with rules, regulation, and you can look like you're strong, look like you're smart, but a manager is not a leader. Managers do things right, but leaders do right things. Leaders do need managers under them. Most managers who show their strength through these computers and stuff now, they basically should be number two people. And they used to be happy before the law of the playground was abolished. And, you know, they didn't really, people need to know when they're not leadership material a little bit earlier. But the participation trophies bring everybody along. There's just too much information, isn't there? Folks, you think about it, it's right in front of us what's going on, but there's so much information out there. It's like drinking water out of a fire hose. And, what's going to happen? Well, you know, I tell you, I hate to tell you this, folks, but I might not have my kids play this wonderful game. I'm going to teach them how to play, but we'll see about the competition because I love what I see going on in baseball. I love what I see going on in swimming. These sports have been pretty much, they are what they are, and they've stayed sacred. Tennis, we're just cutting it up, and folks, it doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't have to be that way. I'm going to get Coach Weber on the line here so we can get some ideas. Coach Weber, hello, good morning.
Hello, how you doing, Coach?
Hey, how's that operation, your knee? How's your knee doing? Are you getting around a little bit better?
Not really getting around. I'm a little bit more involved, so I'm on my back right now, and I've got a machine that moves the knee back and forth, so I'm free to talk to you for a while.
Okay, well, I surely appreciate it, and everybody appreciates We Coach Tennis, the Facebook, the website, and all that you do with your radio show called We Coach Tennis. Usually on Tuesdays, people can get it. But we've pointed out what's happening. You know, what's happening? Is it tyranny or is it freedom? And I'm saying it's tyranny because this definition is right on about what's happening. And, you know, we don't talk about people on this show, but we do talk about organizations. USTA and the ITA have to be in cahoots with the way they are custom packaging this thing. But people know what's going on, and they don't speak out, Coach. What is going on with our coaches? Am I the only person out there that feels this way, Coach? What's your thoughts?
You probably feel like that sometime. Let me try, and I'd like to try and maybe just kind of at least maybe you could help me with this as well. From a historical standpoint, the strength of our tennis coaching in the United States, I think, came from the entrepreneurial nature of it. In other words, coaches in different little pockets here and there and things here were able to be very creative, didn't probably follow a protocol or guidelines, and they taught with a lot of motivation, a lot of enthusiasm, and we led the world. Just recently, I think they've said that now Russia leads the world, and Russia's going, you know, we've gone with commercialization. So our entrepreneurial spirit and our entrepreneurial way of setting tennis coaching up in the United States, it became more commercialized, and I think part of that, it's become more businesslike or commercialized. But that, at the very same time, the USTA sort of, I think, is a they sort of copied either the Czech Republic or the European model. And what they did was, at least from what I see, is they went to where it's a more centrally controlled thing. You've got the U.S.
socialism.
Gives them a lot of money.
Those are socialist,
right.
Those are socialist countries.
Right. They follow
what are they
that
thinking?
Model. Well, I think they're a governing body, and they look to they're gonna exploit their power. I mean, what they want to do is leverage. I mean, it's all about. I mean, to me, I was sitting here thinking about this a little bit this morning. It boils down to power. They really don't have anything over you and I, because you just asked the question. You know, why do people? I think there are a group of coaches out there that probably don't want to get involved in anything on this level. You know, I like Peter Smith. Peter Smith out in at USC and some. I think Tim Cass was to that degree a little bit. You know, they sort of just want to go along on another plane or another level, not worry about this. There's a guy. The Hispanic guy that teaches in San Diego, you know, he just wrote something I read about, you know, butterflies or something like that. I mean, they don't want to get involved in the politics.
Well, let's label the three groups. You say those that go along. I sort of had three groups earlier as I was talking about the peer pecking order that's established really on the playground. I said you have the real leaders. You have those in the middle that are either going to be leaders or followers. That need the born leaders, those are those that have to be taught through the pecking orders of the playground and competition and sports and artistic endeavors, and those that become leaders. But then you become in you're a leader, you lead, follow, or get the heck out of the way, is what they always said. You know, you lead, follow, or get the heck out of the way. Three groups become two groups,
right? So the nature of the USTA in the United States has changed. And along with that change, they have, through the years, leveraged their power in a variety of ways. You have people who don't have the time. Some people, now you say some people are leaders. I mean, some people want to get involved in this, but some people are leaders just by their actions. For a long time, you were a leader just by your actions. You've only just sort of gotten involved in. You may have tilted at a different windmill. You may have tilted at maybe the establishment of the
Coach, I got involved when they said you have to do. I didn't have any skin in the game with 10 and under tennis, but when they said you have to do, I go, whoa, wait a minute now, guys, not so fast. This is the United States of America. This is not Russia. Or,
and then they leveraged the power. They what they did was. They said that, it's been a long time coming. It's been 20, 30, 40 years coming to this point, but now where they are, they're at a point where they use their power to basically force you to comply with what they want to do. That's the or else part. You see, I think actually, you know, you've got a radio show, I've got a radio show, you get people on, they begin to learn, they begin to talk, they begin to, you know, discuss things. People at first are a little reluctant, they're a little shy about or embarrassed about speaking out, and, you know, maybe they don't want to speak against the, you know, the local tennis association or the, you know, the USTA for the state or the section or the national, you know, they don't want to do that or wherever level you pick them up at, they don't want to be caught at. But then the more you talk to them and the more they feel that they still have this freedom, we actually still have a lot of freedom here. They've got power over us. It's not quite, I don't know if it's quite what I would call tyranny as much as I would. They're utilizing power in a way that is really not good. They've copied Eastern European or European sport models. It's back when they saw Lindell and they saw the Swedes going around and winning. They've copied those nationally strong, nationally organized sport federations, and that's what they're trying to create here in the U.S. They're going about it in a very methodical way. They've taken over, in my opinion, the USPTA. To their credit, the PTR and his brother was a senator. Who's a Santorum?
Yeah, Santorum. Well,
he's not agreed to do it.
Right, I think about Little Mo too. The Little Mo organization has really sort of stood out, and they do their own thing.
But you can see these pockets. He's a pocket, but for the most part, they're going to take over this. The USPTA, if you ask Doug Pilot, if you ask some of these other guys out there, they'll tell you it's already been taken over. But apparently, they're moving to Lake Nona, and when they get to Lake Nona, that's going to be, I think, the end of any kind of independent voice for pros that are a member of that organization, because it's all going to be talked about, and it's all going to be blended in into a uniform message. Their idea is that they need a uniform, nationally controlled, nationally kind of everything funnels through the national or comes from maybe a funnel is bad. Pyramid. You got a pyramid, and you know the USGA is at the top, and
how
they're
going
to
filter.
They're going to disseminate it down through there, and in that case, I think that's we're going to struggle just like any of these other. We're Sweden right now. Really isn't. You know, I mean, you know,
no.
They're not even as good as we are they? I mean, I don't know.
Socialism never works.
I mean, it might work for a while. It might work for a little bit, but it doesn't continue. It doesn't continue to motivate, and you know, there's so much tension. And I guarantee you, in those countries, we want to talk about. Guarantee you, in many of these countries, there's tension between the people that are delivering tennis to the people that play, and then federation. Guarantee you, there's tension, just like there is here. But I don't think there's as much as there is here. In the U.S., there's plenty of tension between, and I think they're just going about it, and I think they could go about it in a different way and try and allow for a whole lot more freedom of choice in what people can do.
You do it by selling ideas. You do it at the marketplace. You do it on the free enterprise system that we have, and it's no different than if you want to be a coach and listen – people, what if they divided up everybody in Atlanta and forced kids, same number, you got 13 kids every week, and over there at Racquet Club of the South, they got 13 kids a week, and everybody got 13 kids. Everybody got a participation trophy. Don't people understand that just kills incentive? It just absolutely – so here's what's happening, Coach. I went – 2 weeks ago, we got to play with the team. We're building a great program here. I'm so proud of the program we're building. But 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we got to play traditional scoring for the whole weekend, and I came away after wins and losses, and you beat your chest and just say, wow, that was great. Our kids learned. What a great sport tennis is. We're so passionate. And then this week, we got to go down and we're at a showcase event, a lot of hoopla and a lot of fanfare, but we had to play traditional scoring. It was sort of like, what? Are you kidding me? That was about as interesting as watching paint dry because there's nothing you carry with you.
Wait. You just said you had to play traditional scoring?
Oh, no. We had to play – sorry. We had to play no ad scoring. We got to play traditional scoring 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago. But at this hoopla event – thank you for correcting me. At this hoopla event, we had to play no ad scoring. It was awful. It was just laughable, the doubles in college now. You play one set, no ad. I mean, that was that was just
– Now, when you say the other guys, the other guys not like it too, or is it because what is it?
Look, I asked the two of the teams of the three teams we played. I said, guys, you like this? And the coaches and players said, no, we hate it. We absolutely hate it. I said, well, why don't we speak out? The one coach said, look, you got to go through the political channels. You got to go through. You've got to somehow come up with a movement. Now, here's what I came down, again, when I got you on the phone, I wanted to talk about what we do to fight this, I think it comes in stages. Number one, you pointed out that's what everybody can do, and everybody's done, but that blows away. Number two, you create a movement. I was thinking about creating a movement like Real Tennis Matters. Real Tennis Matters. How about that? We get T-shirts. We pass out the 10-point sheet that we're publishing on We Coach Tennis and make those really nice. Then number three is the most important thing, you know, besides standing up and speaking out, the most important thing is let's conduct competitive arenas or our alternative arenas, Coach. That's what the Little Mo does. That's what USPTR does. And you know what?
I think the alternative arenas are where you need to go. I think that the movement will come. I think that I always worry about trying to start a brand new organization anywhere, anyhow. I wish we could get into the organization that's there. I mean, I'd love to know more about how I think your listeners, and I think you're far enough removed from it now, at least. I would really love to know how someone as passionate as you, someone as intelligent, I mean, you wrote great, great stuff. You're a great competitor as far, I mean, the coaches, they, you know, around the country will verbally step up and say that they respect you. How are you now not any longer on the USTA's competition committee? I don't even understand that. I don't understand how that's possible.
You're fishing there.
I want to know how that happened, that you're not there and that you're not part of it. And I want to know why, what mentality exists out there. And people need to know that because their response to you, do you hear what I'm saying? These guys who don't want to speak up and things like that, they think that, oh, well, it'll all work itself. No, it won't. If you don't speak up, if you don't talk about it, as much we're going to have more people who speak up and are not afraid to talk about this stuff in order to get them involved with the USTA, in order to get more people talking about this stuff so we can get some stuff actually changed. I'll tell you, the biggest thing they need to do is they need to get the marketing and the competition side totally separate at the USTA. Those two arms of the USTA need to be separate. And if you could get guys on there, that's a common sense solution to a problem that is out there for us coaches, and it affects the play, and that needs to be separate. And my thing on your NOAAD thing, you know, it's a very alluring, it's a very provocative, it's something that draws you in, this idea of changing the scoring system in order to make tennis more popular. It's a seductive idea. Do you know what I mean? It's right there. It's seductive. It lures you in. Yet that's not what is going to put a single extra fanny in the stand, or it's certainly not going to make tennis more relevant on the campus by simply changing the scoring system.
Stop. Doesn't have anything to do with that. It's for parity of some of these teams that would not be able to perform at a high level if it depended on work ethic and hard work. They depend on skill set and God-given ability, opportunities they have. But believe in, you know, our sport does not reward those with traditional scoring who don't work hard and do the work. But let me answer your question real quick. And you know what? I'm really upset about it. I'm really upset about getting thrown off that committee. I got thrown off because I didn't ask to be put off. You know, they didn't want me back. And you know what? I was kind. I was respectful. I engaged every time. But I did not jump on a bandwagon just so that everyone would be happy and stay. I put alternative ideas on the table and solutions on the table.
That's shocking to me. Everybody listening, everybody should believe that. I mean, they don't have to believe it, but everybody should at least pause and question that and let that sit in their minds for a while, because that's right there the problem. If they're wanting, how many people are on that committee? 20-something, you said? How many?
24, 25, and only about two or three coaches. Most were administrators who really don't, who are not in the arena all the time, number one.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible. But basically, again, number ones hire number ones, number two hire threes, okay? And basically, it was a organization that you're never going to get anything done because too many.
But do you see there? But there's where you're – okay, so your talk is about tyranny, but there's where the tyranny is. You see, it's a political process, but there's not enough of the opposition out there that's willing to speak up and say stuff. How many other people, yeah, there's 24 people, 25, whatever was on the committee. Did you feel like a lone voice on the committee, or were there other people?
No, we
as
had
well
a
had
couple,
problems?
You know, and I know he'll love it. Steve Bellamy says what he thinks. You know, he was on the committee. They didn't ask him back either. And they asked, I don't know whether he wanted to be back. I was willing to do my duty. My wife, Shirley, didn't appreciate the extra time I was putting in that committee. But the point is, it was very necessary. I thought I could do my part. And the thing is, I always look for alternative voices in organizations that I have run, because otherwise you don't get the truth. I mean, think about it. Most people who only have
well,
the
you get tyranny.
Around
no,
them,
no, no, no. You get the tyranny. You get the tyranny that you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, right now, I look at it. Right now, I look very, you know, there are, I can't tell you, Coach, we could take a trip. Here's another example of the tyranny that you're speaking about when it regards coaching. I look at across the northern arc of Atlanta, the very best coaches, and when I say the very best coaches, I'm talking about they make money for themselves, okay? They've produced a following. They've got good kids, and you know they're going to discount that. You know, a lot of places are going to say, "Well, look, they're just high performance guys." Look, Jerry Baskin. I'll give you one example. Jerry Baskin can go out there and he can teach a beginner as well as he can teach an advanced kid, and he's got beginner kids that come and filter through his program all the time. And other guys are out here doing the exact same thing, but none of these guys, none of them are using a red, orange, or green ball. Yet,
well, that's a whole different topic.
Well, here's my point. And I'm sorry to go so long. My point is this, is that when the USPTA puts together a conference, there's nothing but talk now that supports that particular way of teaching, the red, orange, and green way of teaching, no alternative voice at all. And that's not educational. That's not going to help us. That's not going to help the United States get any better in tennis. All that's going to do is create some kind of efficient, you know, way of operating, organizational efficiency for the USTA or the USPTA.
Yeah, exactly. But look, at Jerry Baskin, there's a reason why he's created so many great players. There's a reason why he's in – but Jack Sharp, I mean, these kind of people – you know, and do you think they get a Robert Lansdorf on their committee? Do you think they get a Wayne Bryan on their committees? Do you think they – and the point is, these are the people – if you look at Donald Trump in the political arena, he says, I'm going to get the best and I'm going to get the brightest and we're going to make things happen. Well, is there a parallel here? Do we get the best and the brightest and the most passionate people? Look, and I'm going to challenge USTA, you need me. Dang it, I will tell you the truth. I've never lied about tennis to any of you. You know, I don't lie. I'm honest. I will give you my best. You know, I'm passionate at this stage. I've got 53 years of experience in tennis. I've got 44 years in tennis teaching. I've got 40 years in collegiate. I think, and you know what? I've been successful in those arenas. Now, daggone it, you guys need to be asking me things more than just saying, hey, you know what, that guy's sort of, you know, out-of-the-box thinker or whatever. That's a kind way of probably what you call me. But the bottom line on the thing, guys, is I want this sport to be around for my children, and I want it to be a passionate endeavor, an affair of the heart. I don't want it to be a robotical thing where they chase success and performance over mastery and deep, deep love of the sport. I want that sport around for my children. And you guys are killing it. You guys are not doing this because of a lack of freedom. So, you know, get it together. And you need a devil's advocate for sure. Your best minds out there are some people that you're not even using. And I'm not talking about me right now. There's a lot of people way smarter than me, but I will give you my best. Coach Weber, any other last thoughts? We just got a minute or two.
Well, and speaking about freedom, I just want to throw it out there. I'm putting together the national with you, and we're going to do this for 2017, the National Invitational Tournament. It'll be held after maybe the NCAAs in spring, maybe even do a preseason one. It's going to be with yellow ball, no green balls. When are y'all going to go to green ball in college tennis? It's going to be regular scoring.
I ask ITA, hey, when are we going to green
it'll
ball?
Have you seen how good? Have you seen? I mean, if it's entertainment level, play it with green butt. You have a lot longer points. I mean, give me a break. But it's going to be regular scoring. Let's have a national invitational tournament, regular scoring, 3 out of 5 sets, finals of the NIT. And we'll invite everybody, all divisions. It'll be an individual tournament. I'm thinking it'll be a great, great event. I'm thinking that when will I be Jack Bushman's age when he was – I'll be in my 80s. When I'm in my 80s, it might mean something to have won the event. What do you
think? Well, absolutely, but here's more important thing. All of you coaches out there, all of you teaching pros out there, all of you parents out there, do your part, encourage new events. I think that's the thing we have to do. A movement like the MDTA, those things, we had the thing is there's protection in an organization called Real Tennis Matters or MDTA or something, but the point is, it's the individual ground game that we need, guys. We need tournaments run, and if you run junior tournaments, remember now, kids can make up to $10,000 and still be eligible. They can make $10,000. They did that to cover up for all the pros in college tennis, but let's use it for our advantage. Have money tournaments for juniors. You want a full tournament? Run heritage scoring. Let's call it heritage scoring. Run heritage scoring, 3 out of 5 sets. But stretch the kids. It's got to be an affair of the heart, the soul, and it's got to be something that we look forward to doing more than an activity between pay periods for us and an after-school activity for the kids. But, hey, Coach Weber, thank you very, very much for being on, man. You're the best. And, Well, I just cut him off there. Coach, just want to say goodbye. Thank you very, very much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Hey, get well. Hey, we need you running that 10 flat 100 like you used to be able to before you put on that extra weight from coaching. Listen, I'm excited about your son coming up. You know, he's got great, great, great parent athletes there, and you and your wife. Both collegiate athletes, both you guys. Wow, that young man's got something ahead of him. God bless y'all.
Made in America, born in a heartland, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He's got the red, white, blue, fine high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Made in America. Made in America.
And this is Coach Chuck Creasy reminding you that you are in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. God bless each and every one of you, and let's keep the freedom shining. Stand up, speak out for freedom, freedom in tennis. See you next week.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.